meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you, Desiree. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Cross Community Working Group on Internet Governance on the 18th of May, 2016 at 1302 UTC. Welcome, everybody. Let's start with a roll call, please.
Okay, in the room we have Alan Greenberg, Avi Doria, Fionn Thomas, Gangesh Verma, Klaus Stoll, Paul Blaker, Ryan Johnson, and Tamia Suto. And for staff, we have Nigel Hickson and myself, Desiree Cabrera. And for the chairs, we have Olivier Crepin-Leblond.
Thanks very much, Desiree. Have we missed anybody in the roll call by any chance? I know more people are joining as we speak, so Desiree will keep track of them. Today's agenda is going to have a very brief report on the WISIS forum that took place 2 weeks ago already in Geneva. And then there'll be a report on the CSTD, which is, I think, probably something even a bit more important because we're likely to focus on some work on this. And then we'll be discussing the proposal for a workshop at the IGF, the next IGF, at the end of the year. Are there any additions or changes, amendments to be made to the agenda? Hearing no one, the agenda is adopted as it currently is on your screen. And just one thing to add, though, this call is going to be, I guess, primarily a policy call, since we've got much reporting on WISIS Forum, CSTD, and possibly even the discussions on what we might wish to have for IGF 2016. So the first thing is there is actually an item missing in the agenda, and that's the action items. There were three action items. I've put the link on the chat for anyone if they wish to click on this. The first one was for me to follow up with a list on a possible face-to-face meeting in Helsinki. I have made the request to the ALAC to set up a meeting. As you know, this year's organization this meeting's organization is a bit different. It's the supporting organizations and advisory committees that asks for and that have built the schedule. So I've asked for a slot. I haven't had a response yet on this, but I'm hopeful that we can have a face-to-face meeting in Helsinki. The second item was to start a Google Doc on the ideas and topics for IGF. Well, that hasn't been done, but we can certainly start the discussion during our call today. And thirdly was just a doodle for the call. And I think it was for the week of the 9th of May, actually, is the week of the 18th. Well, not the 18th, this week, because we had to move 1 week back due to the CSTD. I don't see anyone putting their hand up to respond to any of these action items, so let's move then directly to the reporting on the WISIS forum. There are two links in your agenda. The first one was a link to the session that ICANN had organized, and that's the ICANN new GTLD program reviews and lessons learned. It was well attended, and it was I think that the audience managed to learn a lot about all of the programs, and Avery Doria and Jonathan Zook, both acting as chairs of their respective working groups, Avery in the subsequent procedures working group and Jonathan in the consumer trust review. So the second workshop was the WISIS Forum workshop, where we spoke about iron stewardship transition and enhancing ICANN accountability. That was very well run by Matthew Shears, and we had Teresa Swinehart who spoke to us about the program, and we had the luck of having Lee Sfer, the CWGINA co-chair, Thomas Rickert, the CCWG accountability co-chair, and a few community members being able to provide their insights. I think that went really well as well, and The videos are out there. You've all seen this on the mailing list. So altogether, it was quite helpful, I would say, and certainly it's something which we might wish to consider later on in this agenda if we want to do something like this at IGF. I'm going to open the floor. I don't know whether anybody else who was there wants to add anything to this. I see Matthew Shears yes. has raised his hand, and I think is that Marilyn Cade?
Yes, I'd like to speak after Matthew. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Marilyn. So, Matthew Shears, you have the floor.
Olivier, can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can hear you. That's fine.
So much.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. I actually thought that this session was a particularly useful session, not only because of the fact that it took place in an environment that is somewhat distinct from the more typical ICANN IGF space that we work in. It brought the transition to a broader audience, which was important. And I think perhaps most of all, though, I really have to take my hat off to the panelists because the issue is not easy to explain to someone who is not deeply versed in the transition and the enhancing accountability discussions. But the selection of slides was excellent. The confidence with which the panelists spoke and addressed questions and put forward their own comfort and confidence in the transition and the accountability recommendations was wonderful. And I will say that, as was to be expected, Richard Hill was the first person to ask questions, which he had a series of five, which took rather a long time. But the panel dealt with them very, very well, and it's quite well known that Richard has had issues with participation and transparency throughout the process and has perpetually questioned, in a sense, questioned its legitimacy, but the panel has dealt with those issues particularly well. So, I think it's something that we should probably do more often, but maybe, you know, in selective spaces that are not the ICANN space, but ones in which there's obviously a great sense of interest. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Matthew. Next is Marilyn Cade.
Thank you. I want to really compliment the content of the session. And for some on this list, you know this, but others do not, that I am the substantive coordinator of the National and Regional IGF. And I'm very deeply knowledgeable about these sessions, but many others are not. I think the advantage, if we could encourage taking just the factual participation and presence, presentations, and turn that into a factual briefing that could be widely shared, I would welcome that and could commit to post that to the National and Regional IGF. I welcome your comment, Matthew, that yes, we need to explain more to the non-usual suspects. And so if I can encourage our turning not the question section but the presentation session into a sort of YouTube presentation that the ICANN staff might support, I think that would be really helpful and useful for debunking. This is a complicated set of issues, but this presentation, I think, was absolutely stellar in just the facts. And that is really important for us to get out.
Thanks for this, Marilyn. It's Olivier speaking. Let me turn to Nigel Hickson and find out if it would be possible to do something like this. I absolutely agree with your points, and we definitely need to be able to send the message out there to the non-usual audiences. It's pretty useless for us to do a presentation about INF stewardship transition and ICANN accountability in an ICANN setting. But certainly at IGFs, both global but also local or regional and other fora as well, if this video was made available, that would be super. Nigel, is there an ability to have that video? And I'm not quite sure where the copyright lies regarding the video and whether that can be shortened and edited and put online or made available on YouTube. Nigel Hickson? And at the moment, we might be muted because we cannot hear you, Nigel.
Oh, right. Sorry. Good afternoon and apologies. Yes. I'm not sure why. Yes. Anyway, apologies for the background noise. Yes, I've approached the ITU to see if we can effectively edit the videos which they've already put on their site, and they're going to come back to me. If we can't do that, I mean, we obviously can do that at ICANN, but we just have to make sure that it's okay with the ITU, because it's effectively it was taken, you know, as part of the WSIS forum, and it's all public. So I don't think there should be too much of a problem, but we just have to go through the niceties. And if it's okay with the ITU, then we can certainly do something as in ICANN to use it as a promotional material and share it or whatever. Good idea. Thank you.
I see that Olivier was going to dial back in. He was dropped. It's Marilyn. I'm just going to thank you, Nigel, and particularly for your follow-up. As the substantive coordinator of the NRIs, this would be fantastic. So Olivier will be joining us momentarily, I'm sure. But I want to thank you for your follow-up. And I don't know if we've all had a chance to acknowledge all of the speakers who are on the call. Olivier is back online now.
Thank you very much for this, Marilyn. It's Olivier speaking. And for some reason, I had the whole building had a one-second power cut, which was very strange, and it seemed to have completely cut everything off. But anyway, we're back on there. So I'm not quite sure what were the last words that Nigel said, and apologies for this.
Actually, it's Marilyn. The last words were, I welcome this, and I hope that Nigel is going to be effective with the ITU, and if I need to intervene with him in the ITU, he should let me know.
Okay, thanks for this. So, any other comments on the WSIS forum? Any questions regarding the WSIS forum? Marilyn, pardon, Kate?
Yes, might I? I'd like to comment about the WSIS forum on a different issue very briefly. I'll make it brief, but I want to comment on it. The WSIS forum took a different approach this year, and that different approach, I think, is important for us to be aware of. There's an effort to be more welcoming to stakeholders, to non-government stakeholders. So for the first time, the high-level session had a different approach, not just reading out of sessions, but 16 appointed high-level track facilitators, all of whom came from non-government, and they worked with the high-level speakers to take a more interactive approach. And while nothing is perfect, it was a step forward. I was privileged to be one of those high-level facilitators. I see a few other people also who were among that. I think we should think about this as a very positive step, and think about also not just the workshops that we were able to propose, and I think those were really important, but also to think about how we are evolving the WISIS Forum to be more multi-stakeholder. This was a small step forward, but it was a step. And I just want to comment about that.
Thanks very much, Marilyn. That's very helpful to know the organizational part, and certainly to see that the WISIS Forum is moving in a more multi-stakeholder fashion is a good thing. I personally have now attended two WISIS Fora, the one last year and the one this year, and certainly it looks as though there is more interaction than there was in the past between participants and the people on stage. And even I think that a couple of the sort of wide sessions in the large hall that took place in the high-level sessions, I think towards the end of the day, on the second day, there started to be interaction with the audience. And it certainly, having spoken to people around there, it looked as though people were enjoying a lot more being able to respond or being asked questions or contribute from the floor, rather than just having a lineup of people on the stage going on about their business and coming up with their declarations whilst everyone else is checking their emails. But, it seems to evolve and improve in the right direction, and I hope that it will continue going in the same direction as it has in the past years. I don't see anyone else putting their hand up for this, so maybe we can then move to the next part of our agenda, that's reporting on the CSTD. And that took place the week immediately after the WISIS Forum. And that, I understand, was a bit different in several ways. And for this, I guess, I know that several people in this group actually were present at CSTD. They're also part of the working group on enhanced cooperation. So I'll ask for your feedback from your perspective. But first, I guess I can start with Nigel Hickson, who provided us with a good summary of various issues on the mailing list. Nigel, I guess you have the floor, and you can sort of focus our attention on points which you think might be of interest. And then I guess, Marilyn, you've also been there, and others have also been there. I can see several names who I think were also present. So let's start with Nigel Hickson, please.
Thank you, Olivier. Nigel here. I mean, I'll be very brief because it's noisy where I am, and others were also there as well. I mean, I think the CSDD plenary, which is an annual session, probably wasn't that unusual. I mean, it was well timed in that it came a few months after the high level meeting in New York. It considered a variety of subjects. It's not just on ICT issues. It covers sort of innovation and scientific issues, but it did cover the WISIS agenda, so to speak, and reflected on what had taken place in New York and looked forward. But the sort of one of the issues that we were certainly involved in, as well as the plenary on the WISIS, was the drafting of the WISIS resolution, which is an annual exercise. It's a resolution on the WISIS that looks at what has taken place in the last year and looks ahead, comments on the IGF, etc. And this year in particular, it was significant because it was looking ahead to the Enhanced Cooperation Working Group, which is the working group which we've discussed on in the calls before, that was asked for by the output document of the high-level meeting in New York. And it was a long process, as we've described on the list. So I'll finish there, and others will no doubt comment. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Nigel. It's Olivier speaking. Perhaps Marilyn Cade, you might have a few words to say.
I might have a few words to say. I will also note that on the call with us, we have a couple of governments who will also, I think, I don't know if they want to comment, but let me make my comments. I've attended every one of the city meetings long before WISIS was added to the Commission on Science and Technology for Development. I attended the commission that was focused then only on science and technology and innovation for development. But I've also been privileged to attend all of the meetings since then, and this meeting was, as should be expected, a really interesting and perhaps sensitive set of negotiations related to the establishment of the Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation. I'm going to pause and just say that it's really important that we understand that the work of this commission on science and technology for development is equally important to the WISIS follow-up. And now I'll return to a comment about the plans on the focus on the WISIS resolution. The commission has 54 members, states, and I'll be happy to post the list of the current members. They are responsible for developing two resolutions, one on STIs for development and one on the WISIS follow-up. The WISIS follow-up resolution is always very delicately negotiated. It includes this year a recognition of the extension of the IGF for 10 years. That is important language and was carefully negotiated and well supported. The second set of issues that is very sensitive is the establishment of the Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation. And there were governments who were not satisfied with the chair's proposal for the membership of the working group. At the same time, the member states who were there in the room were quite clear that they intended to have a open process, an inclusive process that would allow the input of all member states. The negotiations went very, very long, but I think the good news to me is that there was clear recognition and support that the stakeholders from various groups need to be involved and welcomed to the working group on enhanced cooperation. Work is still in progress. We will take this resolution forward now to ECOSOC, but I am positive that the support of the members of the member states of the CSTD will advance support to launch the working group with an open process that allows member states that have concerns to also contribute, but also protect the participation of the other stakeholders, which is proposed as 5 plus 5 plus 5. So 5 civil society, 5 business, 5 technical community. And we will launch the working group after July, because we can't launch until after ECOSOC approves this. I'm just going to say it was a difficult negotiation, but the good news is everyone stayed in the room and everyone negotiated in a positive manner, and that's sometimes what it takes, just staying till the end.
Thanks very much for this summary, Marilyn. It's very helpful. It's Olivier speaking. It's very helpful to hear this. Just to be sure, so are you basically saying that the list of people that had been chosen to be on this working group on enhanced cooperation, and which has been published, was effectively put to question by some countries?
There was a challenge by a country that is that did not submit their request to be renewed to the CSTD in a timely manner. So they're very frustrated I personally find the working methods of the working group to be very open. No member state has ever been, whether they're a member of the CSTD or not, they've never been denied the opportunity to comment. I do understand the particular frustration of this particular state, but I think everyone else is, all other member states of CSTD are saying that they welcome input. No one is denying the opportunity to comment. And I'm hoping, we're just going to move forward. In the past, we've had practices that were the following. The member states spoke, the participants spoke, and then the non-member states spoke, and then all other stakeholders were allowed to speak. And that is what's being proposed now. I see Avery is saying that it's often too late to change anything, but in fact, I don't really think that's true. I think we've always tried to listen to all comments.
Thanks for this, Marilyn. It's Olivier speaking. I opened the floor. I think that did I hear Nigel who wanted to say a few words?
No, Olivia. Other people first. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Well, there's nobody else in the queue at the moment. I wonder that Marilyn did mention there are a few members of governments who are on the call who might have attended the meeting. I'm not sure whether they are able to speak or whether it's not in their mandate to do so. But that's all fine. But otherwise, with regards to the actual meeting itself, from just having reviewed the papers, and I wasn't in Geneva, but I'm just looking at the papers and so on, it looks as though it was not going to be something so much out of the ordinary, I think, from previous years. And certainly looking at the chairing, Peter Major was the chair of the CSTD. I understand he's now passed on the baton to someone else, and he is now chairing this working group on enhanced cooperation. So we have a chair who's highly experienced on these things. Now we've got some hands up. So let's start with Paul Blaker, please, and then we'll have Yongam Lee afterwards. Paul Blaker, you have the floor.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Okay, thank you. I just add a few words to what Marilyn said. I think it was in some ways quite a difficult meeting because there was this challenge to the procedure that we had all agreed and we had all followed for identifying members of the working group. Apart from that, I think it's really positive that we were able to agree a resolution on the follow-up to WSIS. We did manage to cut some of the text down, especially the many paragraphs that there used to be on the whole history of enhanced cooperation in that resolution. We did manage to get some updates taking into account the outcome of the WSIS review and also taking into account the new sustainable development agenda, which was quite important to quite a few governments to make sure that WSIS and the SDGs were more aligned in this resolution. But it did become clear that the working group on enhanced cooperation is going to be a very difficult conversation. We're pleased that the approach Peter Major is taking is to have a very open and transparent and fully inclusive approach. And we hope that all stakeholders will be fully involved and contributing to the work of the group. But we're going to need, I think, to take a very careful, cautious, step-by-step approach to considering this question of enhanced cooperation. We're going to need to start off by just, I think, revisiting what do we mean by this concept in the light of all the progress that's been made over the last 10 years since enhanced cooperation was first invented as a term, and try to build consensus by starting at a sort of high level. What is it we're trying to achieve? What are the characteristics of what we're trying to achieve before we dive into some of the more difficult issues? So it's going to be a tough conversation, I think, starting in the autumn, and I really hope that all stakeholders get involved and contribute and try and make some positive progress here. Thanks.
Thanks very much for this, Paul. That's very helpful. I just have one small question for you. Are there, at this point, any specific topics which are already appearing on the horizon that might necessitate extra caution or extra attention, if you wish?
I don't think the conversation has got that far. The last working group on enhanced cooperation got into quite a lot of complicated detail with lots of sheets of different public policy issues, and became quite difficult to navigate for that reason. Now, the WSIS outcome says that we need to take account of the work that was done by the previous working group. So the point that the UK has been making is that we should avoid going straight back into addressing those detailed individual issues, because there's a danger if we do that, we'll end up not being able to reach consensus and getting into quite a complicated place again. So that's why we've been suggesting, before we get into those particular issues, we try and take a more high-level view of what do we mean by enhanced cooperation, what are the kind of characteristics or principles of enhanced cooperation, and then hopefully if we can agree that, it will help guide us and help build confidence in trying to achieve some consensus on more specific issues.
Oops, I was muted. So thanks very much for this, Paul. It's very helpful indeed. Let's go to Yongam Lee next. And Yongam, we can't quite hear you at the moment.
Oh, you can't.
You sound very, very far away. So I don't know whether it's your microphone that's too far or the mic level isn't high enough. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm unable to hear you here. The background noise from elsewhere is louder than you. Yongam? No, it's not happening. Okay. For the time being, we can't hear Yongam and Lee, so I see that Paul still has his hand up. I believe that's probably an old hand. Are there any other comments or questions or any further contributions?
Olivia, it's not Nigel here. If I just to mention just one or two additional points. So, I mean, totally agree with what Marilyn and Paul have said. I think it's worth noting that the resolution we came up with in the end, which was difficult because of this sort of membership issue, there was also a concern raised about the non-government members, the stakeholders, people like Marilyn and I, in that if you take the list of stakeholders, it's not that diverse. I think this was a concern. but as we reflected before, you can only, the different stakeholder groups could really only do what they can in terms of taking nominations, and you know, clearly this is a fairly specialised topic, so that's one issue. The positive issue about the resolution, as Paul has said, it touches on the Sustainable Development Goals, also has a positive text on IGF, welcoming the intersessional work that's carried out at IGF and the regional and national structures. So I think that's positive as well. Also says some positive things on the WISIS forum. So I think, you know, when we sit down this time next year or whatever to negotiate it again, we'll have a good base to go from. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for this, Nigel. It's Olivier speaking. I note that there is some discussion going on the chat at the moment. Was that Marilyn Cade?
Yes, I'd like to comment about the full resolution. I think it's really important that we not be negative about the full resolution. The resolution is important because it comes forward to ECOSOC and then to the UN General Assembly. And we need to remember that it is this resolution that actually helped to enhance the recognition of the IGF itself and led to the 10-year extension. And while that's not totally an ICANN issue, many members of the ICANN community supported that. So I want to make a comment about the importance of the overall resolution. Happy to comment online. I've seen that there's a question about the composition of the members of the working group. I'm happy to provide clarification on that, but I don't know if it's really useful to take up the full call. I'll do this very quickly. The composition of the working group is 22 countries, 4 from each of the UN regions, plus Tunisia and Switzerland as the host of the WISIS, and then 5 plus 5 plus 5 from the technical community, the civil society and business community, and 5 IGOs or regional organizations. The nomination process was an open process, and I'm happy to talk about this in more detail. My own view about this is we need to have more of us coming as observers, even if we're not members of the group. And that was the point I was trying to make.
Yes, thanks so much for this, Marilyn. It's Olivier speaking. And maybe I can have an action item for this call, that because I did see a list of members sent around somewhere. I'm not sure whether we have sent one already to our working group. Maybe action item to send the list of members of the working group to the mailing list. It would be a good follow-up on this. I note that there is some discussion on the chat with Avery being somehow unhappy about the parts of the resolution and also composition. I don't know, Avery, would you be able to sort of just expand on your comments by any chance? I don't know whether you are able to speak.
Yeah, this is Avery. I'm able to speak. It's just that there's... never mind. My problem has not to do with the composition of the group. I think any group of us that they pick, you know, will be a fine group, and I think there's some very fine people in the group that have been picked for round two of the Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation. Now, my issue is more with resolutions from government-only decisional bodies where people who can get the funding are allowed to be in the room and are allowed to speak at the end of time, at the end of, you know, many sessions. And so I think it's okay for us to have a generally positive attitude about it, But I really believe that we must be critical of things in those resolutions that are still wrong, and we still have to maintain being critical of a process that excludes us when decisions are being made. And I think that this group, as a group from ICANN, a group that is outside that decisional body, is basically CSTD and ECHOSOC, are not multi-stakeholder. And as stakeholders, ICANN is excluded. So I think while having a generally positive attitude about the bits of progress that they make, I think we are entitled and perhaps even obligated to maintain a critical stance and to point out the things that, you know, might have been different had all stakeholders been allowed to fully participate. That's a point I made. It has nothing to do with the working group or enhanced cooperation. You know, I think that as long as enhanced cooperation is primarily a government deal and it's separate from the rest of the stakeholders, you know, as I said in my comment, it'll continue to go in circles. And I think some very important things will be said by all who participate. So it's, you know, that part's fine. Thanks.
Thanks very much for this, Avery. It's Olivia speaking. But you mentioned that ICANN is not taking part, but the composition being the 5-5-5-5 in the technical community in academia, we do have Nigel Hickson, who is in the...
I meant in the CSTD.
In the CSTD
I meant
itself. Okay, sorry.
The decisional parts of the CSTD. No, I acknowledge that, as I said, we have some very fine people. I think Nigel will do great. I think others will do great. You know, I'm very much looking forward to Henriette's contributions. So, you know, I think it's a great group of people. That's not my issue at all.
Okay. Thanks for this, Avery. That's very helpful. I note that we also have on the call, we do have on the call, Teme Asuto from ICC Basis, who was also at the meeting, and representative from the business community. I don't know, Teme, whether, and I'm sorry to be putting you on the spot here, whether you know, feel free to jump in if you have anything else to add on the work of the working group or its composition, etc. I wanted just to ask one more question before we move on to agenda item 4, knowing full well that time is ticking. As far as the Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation is concerned, how does it affect ICANN? In what way? Because we always have to remember we are an ICANN working group, and ICANN's limited remit of domain names and identifiers. How has this work got the potential to affect ICANN, and in what way? And so why should we be tracking this so closely? That's an open question, but you know, Nigel, if nobody else answers, you know that you often are on the receiving end of these, unfortunately for you.
It's Marilyn. Let me give a comment, and maybe Nigel can follow up.
Yes, go ahead, Marilyn. Marilyn Cade.
Thank you. I think ICANN exists in a larger ecosystem of internet governance events and activities. And it also sometimes draws fire from people who don't fully appreciate the narrow but critical aspect of its role and try to assign other responsibilities to it. ICANN does a very good job, in my view, and for many people on this call, you do know that I was actually very involved in founding ICANN. I think ICANN does a very good job of trying to adhere to its narrow but critical mission and agenda, but sometimes others want to assign other work to it. The fact that ICANN shows up and explains what it does and what it does not do, in my view, is very important. And explaining, in particular, right now the importance of the IANA transition and the accountability mechanisms, which have called ICANN into higher attention. It's really important that ICANN staff, board, members of the community are showing up in these broader fora and explaining what is and what isn't. And at the same time, I think ICANN also contributes to building the ecosystem around ICANN by contributing to things like the national and regional IGFs, participating as speakers, bringing forward training, etc. But staying within their mantra and their mission, really important.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Marilyn. Any other comments or questions? Oh, I hear the beep of the background. That must be Nigel Higson.
I'm very sorry. Yes, I'm on the 65 bus. So that's extra information. But just very briefly, thank you, Olivier. Enhanced cooperation, we could spend two or three calls going into what it means to anyone. But if one takes that it has something at least to do with the ability of governments to engage in public policy decision-making and internet governance, then it's important to ICANN in the sense that we believe that, the multi-stakeholder vehicle, however imperfect it might be in how ICANN practices it, is pretty essential in terms of the internet governance agenda. And we hope to be able to show, as we did in the first working group, how the role of GAC in terms of the governments coming together has a role in public policy in terms of what ICANN does anyway, of course, as a wider field. So in terms of issues like the IANA transition and the conditions under which GTLDs are issued globally, then I think we can submit evidence that government views on public policy do have an effect. And so the converse is true. If the Enhanced Cooperation Working Group decides that governments in the part of the ecosystem which ICANN occupies are not being able to fulfill their public policy duties, then obviously that points to the fact that ICANN is not the vehicle to do this, which of course would be unfortunate. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Nigel. That's an important point that you've made here. I noted that Avery had briefly put her hand up, I think. Was that
any? Yeah, I did, and then I thought better of it. This is Avery. But one thing that has changed, and I'm sure that Nigel will be able to build on this quite nicely, is that since the last go-around in Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation, while not to the degree that GAC perhaps would have liked, they did gain some bit of decisional participation in ICANN based on the tradition, assuming the transition is allowed to go forward. But that they have, actually, no, they'll get that anyway, I guess. That they have actually gained a role in the decision-making capability of ICANN, which, certainly the rest of the stakeholders don't have in anything CSTD or ECHO size. So in terms of those conversations, ICANN, as a multi-stakeholder organization that does get things done, does make decisions and does implement stuff, has given governments part of the decisional voice. And I think there's a lot he'll be able to do with that. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Doria, thank you. I don't see any other hands. So perhaps can we close the chapter of the CSTD with 9 minutes remaining on the call? I think that we can just leave this as a watching brief for the time being. I think I'd heard that the next meeting of the CSTD will be in September. Obviously, whoever is on the CSTD working group on enhanced cooperation, please let us know if there are any developments. I note that Nigel Hickson has shared with us a resolution, the WESIS resolution, that's in draft form at the moment. So that will no doubt be somehow confirmed in a few days' time. But having read through the resolution, there doesn't seem to be anything at the moment that really stands up as being some kind of red flag of some sort at this very moment. Now, let's move on then to the proposal for a workshop at IGF 2016. The call for workshop proposals is open until the 6th of June, which doesn't give us very much time to both decide on whether we wish to have a workshop there and also decide if that's a yes, what topic we should have this workshop on. I have sent an email to the mailing list making a few suggestions, but of course the fate of the decision lies entirely in your hands as to whether, first question, we should be having a workshop, and secondly, what topic we should focus on. So I'd like to open the floor for suggestions, perhaps even responses based on the message that I've sent out to the mailing list. Is there any support for having another workshop of the same type as the one that we presented at the WESIS forum, or is another topic more likely to be perhaps more important? Then, bearing in mind that this year's IGF is very late in the year, I believe it's in November, isn't it? Is it November or even December? I don't even have the exact date. It's very late, so by then, will ships have sailed? Will trains have left the station, et cetera, et cetera? Insert your favorite analogy. Where do we go from here? What should we do? And we need to decide quite fast. Adam Greenberg, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Based on the most recent comments from the NTIA that things, quote, look on track and there's no reason to believe the transition won't happen. You're right, a number of ships will have sailed by then, but talking about both the process and of the ships being launched, so to speak, and the environment that results, I think it does warrant a session.
Okay, thanks for this, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. Any other comments? A note from Marilyn Tate. So the next IGF, December 6th to 10th. From the 6th to the 10th of December. I mean, I'd be inclined to say, based on the success of the workshop that we had at WESIS, WESIS Forum, I would be tempted to say, well, let's have the same thing in Mexico. The only concern I have, though, is that if by then we have that video that's already been there, maybe we have a double, we're doing double duty on this. Are there other topics that we might wish to present? Alan Reberg again.
Yeah, to be clear, I wasn't talking just about accountability. I mean, assuming the transition goes through, this is a sea change. It's required a level of cooperation. I'm not talking about the details of the transition or of accountability, but the overall process. And I think there will be a lot to talk about how what the environment of the world is in December, if indeed the transition happened as we're expecting it to at this point. So it's more than just the accountability session.
Okay, thanks for this. So it goes a bit further than this, and maybe the dialogue and discussion might have moved down the line a little bit. Any other comments here? I see suddenly everyone is very quiet. to see at least some support or some non-support. Marilyn Cade.
So I was just, I think Aubrey might have already preempted me by saying perhaps we could have a number of ideas. I think Aubrey said up to three proposals, and maybe you could have a number of ideas and explore those. One, really, you know, look, I'm a MAG member, and I will have to recuse myself completely from voting on what you propose, but I do think that we need to remember that the audience at the IGF, just as the audience at the WISIS Forum, is not the same audience as ICANN. And so it's, in my view, you should think about the idea that an informational session is going to reach a very large number of people who aren't the usual suspects. And so I would encourage the idea that you do a session taking advantage of the experts in the CCWGIG and giving the state of play. I think that's really useful, and I would personally encourage it. And then recuse okay. myself.
Thanks for this, Marilyn. You are now officially recused. Matthew Shears, you're next.
Yeah, thanks, Olivia. Just to agree with and to pick up on what Alan said, I think we will be in a very interesting point in the discussions that, and in a way, I completely agree. I think we will have moved beyond what the accountability recommendations are and what the IANA proposal is, but we will be hopefully, in a post-transition IANA situation. We will be in the midst of workstream 2 matters. So I think that really, you could entitle it something like, you know, post-transition ICANN and, something like that. And I think it would be a wonderful opportunity to, again, do a very good factual-based session, similar to the one we had at the WISIS, but obviously with a different focus. Thanks.
Thanks for this, Matthew. That's very helpful. Post-transition ICANN, we might even have the title of the proposal. Okay, I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so I guess we've probably reached the end of the discussion on this topic, too. I'll follow up by email, I guess, and I certainly would like your feedback on this. I'm quite neutral personally on the topic now, so obviously it really is for this working group to decide where to go. But post-transition ICANN is certainly something that sounds good. Now, as I see, we're reaching the top of the hour. Nigel Hickson.
I do apologize, Nigel here. So just on the IGF, and sounds splendid to me. I don't want to give an input on this, but I think what Alan and Matthew have said is absolutely spot on. Post-transition ICANN has a sort of ring to it. We have to submit by the 6th of June. By the 9th of June for a workshop. So I can do that on behalf of the group if you wish, and consult people on the necessary paragraphs on that. But it's in your hands, obviously. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Nigel. It's Olivier speaking. What I will do is to report back to the group on the mailing list, since we only have a subset of the overall group, and see if there is further input on the post-transition ICANN topic. And within a few days, we can probably file something. If you could just, I guess you can draft a sort of quick proposal, and then we'll share it with the working group on the mailing list, and that will move forward. There is one item that I was going to touch on had we had a bit more time, and that's to do with the WTSA which Nigel Hickson has mentioned to us on our last policy call. I just had one question as to the timeline for WTSA work. Are we between now and our next policy call, which is likely to be in 3 to 4 weeks, are we likely to have any requirement for input in anything to do with WTSA?
Olivia, this is Nigel. I mean, others on the call are equally knowledgeable. So the WTSA is in end of October, November time. It actually sort of overlaps with the meeting in Hyderabad, the ICANN meeting in Hyderabad that's just been called. It's at the beginning of the meeting in Hyderabad, so to speak. Regional preparations are underway. So I think I reported on this call on the sort of preparations that we were taking place in Europe, but preparations on positions for WTSA are taking place in regional groupings in many different places. But, I mean, there is no specific, if you like, single document that we need to comment on. What we will certainly try and do, depending on the interest of the group, of course, is to circulate proposals as they're made when they become sort of public, so to speak, on certain issues that pertain to ICANN. But there's no, you know, there's no absolute paper that's going to come out in 3 weeks' time. So a policy discussion in a month or 3 or 4 weeks, I think would be opportune, but others would have a view. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Nigel Hickson. Paul Blinker, you have the floor.
Thank you. Yes. Well, just following that, I would just encourage everyone to be keeping an eye on developments as we head towards WTSA. There are already a number of internet and cyber resolutions in the WTSA, but we're hearing of proposals coming up from different regions covering new subjects such as big data, digital identity, over-the-top services, combating counterfeit devices, IoT roaming, mobile financial transactions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot that we need to keep an eye on there. WTSA is not treaty making as such, but it does oversee the work of the telecommunications standards sector in ITU, and it's a kind of indicator of where things will be going when we get to the ITU plenipotentiary conference in 2018. So although there isn't one piece of paper to look at, I'm afraid there's lots of different proposals coming from different regions. It is something that I think all stakeholders need to be keeping an eye on and be prepared to get involved in.
Thanks very much for this, Paul. Nigel, I was going to ask something of staff then. Oh, did you wish to follow up, Nigel Hickson? I'm not sure if Nigel has been dropped, perhaps. I was going to ask whether there was a location where one could keep track of all of the proposals. I don't know whether Paul had mentioned this or is aware of a location of where you can track these proposals, or whether this is behind some kind of a wall, so you need to be a member to track these. And secondly, I was going to ask whether a calendar of a calendar was published anywhere.
So, Olivier, this is Nigel. I'm just getting on another train. Yes, I mean, the proposals, as Paul rightly said, come out of the regional groupings and get reported. So we will see them in due course, but they are confidential, so to speak. So, not exactly sure how we can handle them, but I mean, I'm willing to sort of take advice on this. In terms of a calendar, I think I circulated before, but I can circulate again the list of the dates of the regional preparation meetings. So this is where the member states plus stakeholders, in some cases, get together to discuss regional preparations. And there's one coming up all over the place in the next 2 to 3 weeks, so I'll circulate that. Now, this doesn't mean to say, and Paul is absolutely right, that stakeholders should be aware and concerned about some of the proposals being made, but whether stakeholders can influence their role in the meetings is another question, because some of these meetings are not open to all stakeholders. But certainly stakeholders, of course, can lobby their individual governments. And so, you know, I think there's a lot more on this story. I don't think we should be alarmist, but we should watch it very carefully because of what Paul has said in terms of the linkages with the planning protection. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Nigel. And Paul Blaker has put a link in the chat to the list of regional PrEP meetings. What I think we can have as an action item is to build a wiki page that focuses on this WTSA process so that we can always add further information onto that page as time goes. And please do check regarding those documents, since you said the documents are confidential, do check to what extent they can be shared or at least the contents can be discussed or shared one way or other. So that's the second action item. And with this, I note that we are now 8 minutes beyond the end of this call, so I'd like to thank you all for having attended the call. I hope it was helpful for all of you. Our next call will be in a couple of weeks' time and will be purely on organizational matters. I haven't got any full details yet. There is something which has come up. The board has voted a resolution yesterday to create a board internet governance committee, and what I suggest is we might wish to speak to the chair of that new committee during our next call, since that will be an organizational call. And with this, let's follow up on the mailing list. So I'd like to thank you all and to adjourn the call. Thanks and goodbye.
Thank you.
No, not goodbye. And who is the chair of that?
The chair is Marcus Kummer.
Okay, fantastic. Let's send that invitation.
And we'll be pushing on this as a follow-up. Thanks, everybody. Have a very good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and therefore, goodbye. Bye-bye.